Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 107 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her fertility. Oh boy, before we start this fabulous episode, I want to make sure you know it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, please go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder, too, to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate and review us because I so welcome your thoughts. And yeah, I read them, too. Love it. All right. It's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life. It's all about her.
Wow. When should you see a fertility specialist? You know, this is such a hot topic for women everywhere, all ages. Somewhere along the line, it's either you or you know somebody close to you who's really struggling with this whole issue of fertility. So let's answer some A to Z about when should you see a fertility specialist? Who better to do this than Dr. Christian Bendixson? Now, Dr. Bendixson is a fertility specialist and assistant clinical professor at the University of Southern California Fertility, a part of the Keck School of Medicine at the university. She serves as the director of IVF at the USC Fertility, as well as the director of the Fertility Diagnostic Testing Program. She founded the USC Center for Pregnancy Loss, the first to be located in Southern California. Dr. Bendixson, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, boy. I mean, I could spend all day long reading your credentials. And instead of doing that, because I think everyone's already pretty aware of the fact that you're the smarty pants person in this sector, we want to get some answers. Yeah, you know, this is such a hot button issue for women. So I'd love for you to discuss basic recommendations about when is the right time to see a fertility specialist.
And that's such a, it's a broad question because there are so many reasons why someone should seek out the advice of a fertility specialist. Certainly, the most obvious is for a couple that has already started trying to get pregnant and it's not working. For those couples, when they actually should seek the specialist advice will depend somewhat on how long they've been trying and also the age of the woman. So if a woman is younger, then they can wait for a year before they see a fertility specialist. But as a woman gets older, because it can be harder to get pregnant, if they're over the age of 35, we suggest that they actually see someone after 6 months of trying. Now, for a woman who's under the age of 35, if she's been trying for 6 months, it's certainly okay to reach out to a fertility specialist and speak with someone. You can have a workup done at that point. You don't have to start fertility treatments just because you saw a fertility specialist. Sometimes couples just need that support and understanding that everything is okay, and that makes them feel much more comfortable in trying for another 6 months. We know that most couples will get pregnant within those first 6 months, about 70% of couples. And so the longer you've been trying, the harder it is going to be to get pregnant. So it's certainly okay to see a fertility specialist when you're younger before you've hit that one-year mark. There's lots of other reasons why people should see a fertility specialist, too, if they've had multiple miscarriages, if a woman is interested in learning about reproduction and trying to figure out when she should start trying to have a family. Maybe she wants three kids or she only wants one, and she's working really hard at her job, and she wants to put it off for a couple of years and is maybe interested in egg freezing. Those are other totally different reasons to see a fertility specialist besides actually for those couples that are already having a hard time.
Well, you know, I think you mentioned the age of 35, so immediately I locked on to that because I think you agree that it's super important for women to understand how does age affect the ability of a couple to get pregnant. So kind of go through that. Try to help our Her podcast listeners figure out what it is about age that affects the ability to have a successful pregnancy.
Yes, absolutely. And that is such an important topic to understand. And for men, it's very different. Men have sperms that are being created all the time, so they don't really have to worry about age as much. And there are some issues with the quality of sperm and sperm production as a man gets older, but it's pretty minimal. But for women, age can have a dramatic impact on their ability to get pregnant. And what women have to understand is that we're born with a set number of eggs. And as we get older, we lose those eggs. And by the time there aren't many eggs left, that's when we go through menopause. But there's a long period of time before that where a woman is having regular menstrual cycles. She feels normal. But it's going to be a lot harder to get pregnant. And that's because the quality of eggs also goes down as a woman gets older. And the way I like to explain it to my patients is that because the eggs have been sitting in the ovaries before women were born, the egg is aging. And it's not the DNA and the genetics that are aging so much, but it's all the little mechanical parts that are super important for the development of the egg. All of those mechanical parts are aging as a woman gets older. And the interesting thing to understand is that eggs actually don't go through their final stages of development until the time that they're being ovulated or released from the ovary, and also the time of fertilization where the sperm actually gets into the egg. So if you're trying to get pregnant at the age of 44, then your egg is using 44-year-old mechanical parts in order to complete its development. Whereas when you're trying to get pregnant at 25, then your mechanical parts of your eggs are 25 years old. And so a really easy analogy to wrap your head around is a car, right? When you have a car, you first buy it, it's coming right off the lot, it's under warranty, it never breaks down, right? Because all the mechanical parts are in great working order. The longer you've had that car, the more likely that you're going to have issues. As soon as it's off warranty, you've had it for 15 years, something's going to go wrong every month. It's going to be something different. Every little mechanical part is going to have a problem. Well, the same thing happens with your eggs. So as the egg is ovulating, there's going to be a little problem in one of your mechanical parts that's responsible for the egg development. And that's going to make it so that that egg can't become a pregnancy. And so as a woman gets older, it's just more likely that when she ovulates an egg, it just can't become a pregnancy. And therefore, that's the reason that it can take longer to get pregnant when a woman is older. And also, it's a reason why people and why women are more likely to have miscarriages as they get older.
Wow. You know, it's interesting. I'm having bad visuals about, you know, a broken down car. And I don't care how much you paid for that car to start with, honey, you know, Mercedes or Porsche or whatever. At 15 years, we're talking plus minus here. You know, something's going wrong every month or 2 months. And you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, and I think it's important for women to understand that. But, you know, I think a lot of women read about, you know, Janet Jackson, you know, becoming pregnant 2 weeks shy of her 50th birthday. And I think that they think that, oh gosh, there's an answer for this. She probably had like IVF or, you know, somehow she was able to reverse some kind of aging process. Help women understand that that ain't true. That this is, you know, what you said was absolutely spot on, but I personally think the media and the rest of it really do us a disservice by constantly harping on women who are sort of miraculously having kids at, you know, 48 and 50 and whatever. What is really going on with that?
Sure. So fertility treatments can be very effective to help couples get pregnant that are having a hard time. And they can overcome some of the age-related issues. But they do that by increasing the number of eggs that a woman is going to be releasing in 1 month and then optimizing the chance that a particular sperm will be able to fertilize that egg. So I oftentimes think about it as consolidating many months of trying into 1 month. But it can't reverse, and we as doctors can't reverse the age-related changes in the quality of the eggs. So all we can do is just improve the statistical odds that a woman will get pregnant by increasing the number of eggs and then also increasing fertilization rate. Now, what I think a lot of people don't understand about many women that you hear about that are getting pregnant in their late 40s and early 50s is that oftentimes they're getting pregnant not using their 50-year-old eggs. So a woman who's menopausal can be pregnant, and she can carry a pregnancy, but she's not carrying a pregnancy of her menopausal eggs. She's either carrying a pregnancy based on an egg or using an egg that she froze when she was much younger. So maybe she froze her eggs when she was 35, and she's now 48. And therefore, because what people don't understand is that the uterus doesn't age, and its ability to carry a pregnancy doesn't age. So if you freeze your eggs at 35, and you're now 48, and you want to get pregnant, you can actually use your 35-year-old eggs, and your chance of getting pregnant is that of your 35-year-old self, not of your 48-year-old self. And the other way that women can get pregnant, I know, pretty amazing, right?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's very Star Trek-y, you know. I'm a Trek fanatic. I can't help myself. But seriously, it's mind-blowing. So that's, you know, I suppose it's right up there with a lot of what we're going to be doing with stem cells soon, too.
Mm-hmm.
Harvesting your own stem cells and using them later in life. But this whole issue of age is so big and so powerful. I just hope that everyone out there in listener land for the Her podcast is really getting what you're saying here, right? So
yes,
that's important. All right, so keep going.
Exactly.
We're doing the Janet Jackson dance here.
And so, I mean, the other way that women who, you know, are no longer having periods or their ovaries are just not cooperating and they can't get pregnant, the other way that they can get pregnant is through egg donation. So if they want to carry pregnancy and they didn't freeze their eggs when they were younger, they can actually have another woman go through the ovarian stimulation process, and we can get the eggs of someone who's 20 years old, and then we can fertilize it with the woman who's 48 or 50. We can fertilize it with her partner's sperm, and then you'll create an embryo, and then that embryo can be transferred back into that woman, and then she'll carry that pregnancy, and she can have a baby. It won't be genetically hers. It will have the genetics of her partner, so that will be carried on. And we're learning so much about pregnancy now that a lot of what goes on during pregnancy actually modifies gene expression. So even though it may be not her DNA that's being passed down to her child, her carrying the pregnancy will certainly modify the DNA, and so will actually contribute to who that child becomes. And so it allows a woman to carry the pregnancy, give birth, breastfeed, and have that entire experience, even though it's not her egg. And that's a wonderful option for people.
Oh, I love it. This is fantastic. So, all right, now, let's just say there's a couple out there saying, okay, mm-hmm. we're thinking about having a child. What kind of testing can they do right now just to kind of check their fertility?
So the testing that we can do for a couple that is thinking about getting pregnant is actually the same testing that we do when a couple is struggling with fertility already. For men, we can actually test the sperm, and we look at the number of sperm, how many are moving, and the shape of the sperm, and that can give us a sense if it may be a problem. It can't 100% predict, yes, you'll be able to have a child, or no, you won't, but it can certainly give us an indication that things look really good or things are problematic. On the female side, there are a couple of blood tests and an ultrasound that we can put together in combination and get an overall picture of something called ovarian reserve. And this is more a sense of how many eggs are left in the ovary and how well the ovary is functioning. Now, these tests are really important in that they can absolutely pick up issues that are there that a woman may not know about. A woman doesn't feel infertility. She doesn't feel when her eggs are diminishing very quickly. And so it's really important sometimes to do these tests for women that are thinking about when they want to decide to get pregnant. And using these tests, again, we can't necessarily predict how long the reproductive lifespan is going to be. We know a lot about her ability to get pregnant at that particular time is really related to age, and the ovarian reserve is important, but it's not as important as her age at that particular time. But putting all of those together, it can be very informative in terms of making decisions of when to get pregnant, if egg freezing is possible. And so that's really why at USC Fertility, I started our fertility diagnostic testing program, because I really wanted a way that both women and men could cheaply and with easy access come into our clinic, have this testing done, speak with a physician about the results, and understand if everything looks okay, do they need to come in for a consult that is, you know, takes more time to actually really understand better if there's a problem. But I think that these tests, if used in the right way and the patient has the proper counseling, can be really informative.
Huh. All right. Now, let's talk about a really tough subject, because miscarriage itself is such a sad and tough time. It's a real challenge when it occurs. And a woman may scratch her head and say, is there something wrong with me? Is this all wrong? I mean, people shouldn't miscarry. What's going on? First of all, how common is it for just the average woman to miscarry? And then actually, when do you actually need to see a fertility specialist? When does it become of concern?
Miscarriage is very common, and I think as hard as it is for women to talk about infertility with their friends and family, it's even harder to talk about miscarriages. Miscarriages are so common that we think around the age of 35 that 15% of people who get pregnant will miscarry, and the number goes up as a woman gets older. So by the time a woman is around the age of 40, about a third of the pregnancies will result in miscarriage. And that's related to age-related issues. Now, in terms of when you should see a fertility specialist, it's certainly reasonable after one miscarriage to, at a minimum, speak with your OBGYN just so they can review what happened with the loss, make sure you don't have any medical issues that could be causing the miscarriage, or something in your history that may alert them that they maybe need to do some testing. But for most women, even after one miscarriage, their chance that they're going to have a normal pregnancy the next time is really high, and they don't necessarily need to see a fertility specialist. If women have had two miscarriages in a row, they should absolutely see a fertility specialist, because we're the ones that can help do the workup. And I think that this is a space where women who have miscarriages get lost all the time, because a lot of women who maybe don't have fertility issues, they can get pregnant, but they keep on losing the pregnancies. It doesn't make sense to them to go see a fertility specialist, right? Because they said, oh, fertility specialists, those are for people who can't get pregnant. I can get pregnant, but it's just not sticking. And so that's why I started the Center for Pregnancy Loss here at USC Fertility, because I wanted a place for women who have had losses that they could go and have a multidisciplinary system that could take care of whatever issues and needs that they have. And so after two losses, there is a battery of tests that need to be performed. There are some blood tests and some radiologic tests that need to be done. And in fact, what we know is that in 50% of those couples, we'll pick up something that could be contributing to why they might be having these two losses in a row. And the important thing to take away and to really understand about what happens with women that have had multiple losses is that even after two or even three miscarriages in a row, the chance that a woman is going to go on and have a baby in her next pregnancy is still really high, even if nothing is done. There's no workup. There's no treatment. If you've had two losses, the chance that you're going to have a baby in your next pregnancy is over 70%. And that's because even when we do the workup, sometimes we don't find things. But certainly, if you're one of those people that has an issue, we want to be able to identify it for you so we can treat it.
You know, I'm just thinking to myself, I actually smiling here because my own mother started out with two miscarriages. This was, of course, a million years ago, and nobody was ever looking for much of anything. It was like one of those, oh, well, and then she went on to have my older brother's fraternal twin, so she hit pay dirt on the third pregnancy, and then four more pregnancies, so we're a nice big family of five now, and she was always smiling later on about that, you know, because she was listening to a bunch of naysayers saying, nah, you know, you'll probably never, you know, and there she was, sort of doing her thing. I must admit, too, it was funny when she had her, when she had my brothers who were fraternal twins, the OBGYN at the time didn't even know there were two kids in there. It was like one
I
of those.
I know,
whoops.
So different today.
Oh, there's another head in there. Good Lord.
We can figure out things have changed a little bit. Someone has twins now. It's really amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
So different than what your mom went through. What an amazing story. And that's so classic. And it's just because miscarriages are so common because human reproduction is really just very inefficient. and, you know, and it is. And it's inefficient in many different ways. But it is hard. It is so traumatic to go through a loss. And so I think that for many women, it's such a isolating and sorrowful process to go through a miscarriage. And so sometimes even just to see a fertility specialist, if we don't find anything wrong, just to have the support and understanding that you're going to have a really good chance of having a baby is really incredible and I think so important.
Well, I'm going to throw out a big question for you here, and that was some of the work done by Ali Domar, as you know, up in Boston. You know, the whole issue of stress and the role that stress plays in reproduction and the struggles and challenges of the reproductive process. So I know that in your USC Center for Pregnancy Loss, I'm sure you're addressing a lot of this as well as just in your fertility work because, you know, we've been talking a lot about sort of technical difficulties here, aging and all the rest of it. But at the end of the day, how many of us know at least one story of a woman who was stressed out of her brains, you know, with work and God knows what else, and just can't seem to get pregnant. And then as soon as she begins to take a chill here a little bit, boom, we're pregnant. Talk to us a little bit about that stress factor, because I think it's really important.
It is important. And I think that there are multiple studies that show in many different ways, having support during the fertility process can be beneficial. I think that what you have to understand, though, is that stress plays a small part in a woman's ability to get pregnant. And I don't think you can necessarily stress so much that you can't make a genetically normal egg be abnormal. But we do think it is extremely important to make the process of fertility treatments or miscarriage treatments as stress-free as possible. And we certainly design our office to make it as easy as possible for patients to go through the process. But I think that many times what happens for couples is that, you know, it just takes one good egg to get pregnant. And so all the time I hear stories of women that have been through multiple IVF cycles and then they stop worrying about it and 6 months later they end up being pregnant. And that's because it just takes one good egg, one good sperm that get together at the right time And fertility treatments, they're not guarantees. They're not miracles. They certainly can absolutely boost someone's ability to get pregnant. But sometimes it's just really luck in terms of just having everything go right. And stress is certainly an important component of that. And so to the extent that someone going through fertility treatments or is getting treated for miscarriages can do things for themselves to help center themselves, help center their mind, I think that is an incredibly powerful thing that they can add to the process.
I love it. And again, it's everything's always mind body, you know, one thing affects the other. And it's clear that in your marvelous work, you honor all of that. Everyone out there, we've been talking to Dr. Kristen Bendixson, and she is just extraordinary. She is a fertility specialist and assistant clinical professor at the University of Southern California Fertility Center, a part of the Keck School of Medicine at the university. And she's also the director of IVF at the USC Fertility Center as well. Please run on over to her wonderful website. It's Dr. Kristen, that's K-R-I-S-T-I-N Bendixson. And that's B as in boy, E-N-D-I-K-S-O-N.com. And if you're in the USC area and you want to go see her, it's uscfertility.org. Learn more about her wonderful work at the USC Fertility Center. Dr. Bendixson, we can't begin to thank you enough for all of this fabulous information and knowledge to help us make better planning decisions about pregnancy. Thank you so much for being on the HERB podcast.
Oh, it was such a pleasure to speak with you today.
Awesome. And everyone out there, remember to catch every episode of HER. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And just take a couple seconds or two and rate and review us, because I'm sitting here waiting to hear from you, for crying out loud. So come on down. I want to hear from you. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And you can also check out our HER show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.